The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the NFB. There is a research project going on for spam alerts that needs your input. From December 4th, the American Airlines ruling on emotional support animals flying. The article is at CNN.com. The NFB has a call to action for legislation in Congress. AFB has an update on December 10th for the surveys they've been running. CNBC has an old article on the GM cruise that was tested in San Francisco, and a more recent article about that vehicle from CarAndDriver.com by Roberto Baldwin about the new self-driving Cadillacs that are coming out. HealthLine.com has an article on the Eylea drug to treat early diabetic retinopathy. Blog.thediabetessite.greaterorgood.com has an article on surgery to eliminate injections in type 2 diabetics that was teased back on November 10th. That's a month ago, but I'd never got back to it. So let's get started. Researchers at the Florida Institute for Cybersecurity are seeking participants for a study on mobile warning design and implementation. The purpose of this study is to gather user input on how warnings are designed and implemented. Your participation in this study is completely voluntary. You will be asked to provide your opinion on warning implementation through a multiple-choice questionnaire. The information you provide during the study will be completely anonymous and will be password protected. The information you provide will only be shared among researchers in the study. The survey takes about 11 minutes to complete, depending on your pace and experience with Qualtrics surveys. You must be 18 years of age or older to participate. Every 25th participant will receive a $25 Amazon gift card. If you are interested in participating, please use the following link to participate. Phone call survey, Qualtrics.com. https://ufl.qualtrics.com/JFE/form/capital S capital V underscore 0 V capital P U O C number 4 A capital U O capital H small h capital E D number 7. The study IRB 2020027 62 is being led by Imani S. Thank you, signed Luann Blake, JD, Director of Research Programs, Blindness Initiatives, 200 East Wells Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230, phone 410-659-9314, extension 2221, email lblake@nfb.org. From CNN.com, new rule cracks down on emotional support animals on planes, by Marnie Hunter, CNN. Updated December 2nd, 2020. Airlines don't have to treat some emotional support animals as service animals, a new rule says. The U.S. Department of Transportation rule announced Wednesday states that carriers are not required to recognize emotional support animals as service animals and may treat them as pets. Air carriers are also permitted to limit service animals to dogs. The final rule on traveling by air with service animals defines a service animal as a dog, regardless of breed or type, that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of a qualified individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability. Emotional support animals are prescribed by mental health professionals to provide their owners with comfort and support, but unlike service animals, they are not required to have training in specific tasks. Airlines have asked DOT to regulate this issue in part over their concern that passengers were fraudulently passing off their pets as the more loosely defined and fee-free category of emotional support animals. Flying with a small pet inside the cabin can cost $125 or more each way on U.S. airlines. The new rule was also prompted by an increase in service animal complaints from passengers with disabilities, a lack of clarity around the definition of service animal, misbehavior by emotional support animals, and disruptions caused by requests to transport unusual species of animals on board aircraft, according to the DOT. Pigs, peacocks, and other unexpected animals have previously flown as emotional support animals. Praise from the airline industry. Airlines for America, a trade group for U.S. airlines, applauded the new rule. Airlines are committed to promoting accessibility for passengers with disabilities and ensuring their safe travel. The Department of Transportation's final rule will protect the traveling public and airline crew members from untrained animals in the cabin, as well as improve air travel accessibility for passengers with disabilities that travel with trained service dogs, said A4A President and CEO Nicholas E. Calio in a statement. American Airlines is also pleased with the rule. This new rule reflects a respect for individuals with disabilities who travel with legitimate service animals, which we share, while providing clear and practical guidelines that will eliminate the abuse of the system that has been a source of concern for our team members and customers, said AA spokesperson Stacy Day. We look forward to the improved experience we'll be able to deliver to our customers, especially those with legitimate service animals, as a result. The new rule allows airlines to require passengers traveling with service animals to fill out and submit a DOT form, attesting to the animal's training and good behavior, and certifying the animal's good health. Approximately 15,000 comments were received in response to a notice of the proposed rule posted in the Federal Register in February 2020, according to the DOT. Those comments were taken into account in drafting the final rule. The rule will go into effect 30 days after it is published in the Federal Register. The publication date has not been set. We think emotional support peacocks are ridiculous, too. Previously, a passenger traveling with an emotional support animal was required to present a letter to their airline from a licensed health professional. CertiPet, one of a number of services that provide screening and letters for emotional support animals, called the rule a great disservice to those facing mental health challenges that get emotional support from their animal. The company said in a statement that providing clear guidelines for certification and vetting companies in the industry would have been a better solution. We understand that there have been incidents that have discredited emotional support animals and the service they provide, but those situations could be prevented by increased regulation, the telehealth company's statement said. We think emotional support peacocks are ridiculous, too. CNN's Gregory Wallace contributed to this report. From the NFB, a call to action. Dear Federation family, the new bipartisan bicameral COVID-19 relief bills being proposed in Congress will likely contain some form of COVID-19 liability waiver for businesses. We are concerned that this business liability relief may echo some of the language contained in Section 181 of the Safe to Work Act, which attempted to grant exemptions to ADA requirements during the pandemic. For more information on the exemptions and questions, please read President Rick Abono's opposition letter to Senator Cornyn, https://www.nfb.org/sites/www.nfb.org/files/files-pdf/safe-2-work-act-letter.pdf. The details of the new bill have not been finalized yet, which makes now the perfect time for us to call or email to make sure Congress knows that we will not stand for the erosion of our rights. When you call or email your senators or representatives, you might say something like, "Hello, my name is your name, and I am a constituent of Senator Representative Name. I live in City State. I can strongly urge you to ensure the rights of all disabled Americans are protected in the upcoming COVID-19 relief legislation by maintaining the critical protections of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. Please do not allow for any business liability exemptions that will erode the crucial protections for disabled Americans set forth in the ADA. Thank you." You can contact your senators and representatives by calling the Capitol switchboard and asking for the office in question. The number is 202-224-3121. If you email your members of Congress, please copy me at jpare@nfb.org. Your calls and emails do make a difference. We recommend you call or email the legislative director in your member's office. If you need the name and email of the appropriate staff person for any Senate or House office, please email Jesa Medders, JESAMEDDERS, at JMEDDERS@nfb.org. Thanks for all you do. Signed, John G. Parr, Jr., Executive Director for Advocacy and Policy, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Telephone 410-659-9314, extension 2218. Cell phone 410-917-1965. Email jpare@nfb.org. From the AFB, Taking the Next Steps, Moving from Understanding to Solutions, American Foundation for the Blind, Expanding Possibilities for People with Vision Loss. We are grateful to the thousands of individuals who have responded to our surveys. As you well know, the research reports that we released for Flatten Inaccessibility and Access and Engagement demonstrated significant impacts of the pandemic on access to education, transportation, employment, and health care. As an AFB continues our efforts to ensure that policymakers recognize and resolve these issues, efforts to ensure that policymakers we have prepared a list of resources that you can use on your own self-advocacy. For each research report, we published blog posts about how to use the reports as tools for advocacy. You can find links to those posts, 5 ways to use the Flatten Inaccessibility Report to raise awareness in your community, It Takes a Village, Join the Access and Engagement Village, and Advocate for the Education of Students with Visual Impairments. Those are how... 2 hot links that you can use. We also know that you may need more information to advocate on the issues that are most important to you. We encourage you to explore different advocacy routes below, from advocating with your child's teachers to contacting local policymakers and members of Congress. If you are using either report to advocate for yourself, we'd also appreciate learning how you are using the report in your advocacy so that we can amplify your voice. Please reach out to the research team at access_report@afb.org or flatten_report@afb.org. Quick links, COVID-19 education advocacy, using social media. In case you missed them, AFB hosted a series of 3 town halls based on the results of the Flatten Inaccessibility and Access and Engagement reports. These town halls contain a wealth of information on timely topics important to people who are blind or have low vision, family members, educators, employers, policymakers, and anyone else who is invested in accessibility and inclusivity for those with vision loss. Here's the article I promised a month ago. New Surgery May Eliminate the Need for Insulin for People with Type 2 Diabetes by Elizabeth Nelson, posted on blog.thediabetessite.greatergood.com. Insulin injections can be expensive and time-consuming, but they're necessary for many people with diabetes. However, a recent study suggests that many people with type 2 diabetes could opt to have a one-time surgery that could save them from needing insulin injections for the rest of their lives. The small study, funded by Fractyl Laboratories, that's spelled F-R-A-C-T-Y-L, involved 16 participants who all have type 2 diabetes. The group has had diabetes on average for 11 years and had been on insulin for an average of just under 3 years. None of them had taken GLP-1 receptor agonists before the study. All participants underwent a new procedure called duodenal mucosal resurfacing, DMR, in which an area of the intestine called the duodenum is resurfaced by means of an endoscope threaded down the throat and into the digestive system. All of the participants took GLP-1 receptor agonists, such as Victoza, Trulicity, or Ozempic, starting 2 weeks after surgery, as these medications also target the duodenum. They also received counseling on nutrition and physical activity. After 6 months, three-quarters of the participants who were taking insulin no longer needed it and were able to safely transition away from it. Participants who were not able to quit taking insulin after 12 months were at least able to cut down on their dose by half. The average amount of fat stored in participants' livers decreased from 8% to less than 5%. Their average A1C levels also fell from about 8% to 6.7%, and their BMIs dropped from almost 30 to a near normal 25.5 over 12 months. Our feature programs. See how we're making a difference for people, pets, and the planet, and how you can get involved. The duodenum harbors a broad potential for the treatment of type 2 diabetes, and this combination treatment could be a game-changing approach in the treatment of type 2 diabetes and the metabolic syndrome, says lead researcher Dr. Suzanne Meiring, M-E-I-R-I-N-G, of the Amsterdam University Medical Center in the Netherlands. Meiring says it's not yet clear exactly why the procedure works for people with type 2 diabetes desiring to get off insulin. We think the effects result from a combination of changes that occur when the duodenal mucosa is ablated and rejuvenated, she says. We think that changes in hormonal signaling, including the gut hormone GLP-1, bile acid compositions, and the microbiome play an important role. So far, it does not appear that there are any procedure-related side effects that people considering the surgery need to be concerned about. However, more research is still needed. This is a simple, single procedure that seems to have an amazingly positive result, says Dr. Akankasha Goyal, G-O-Y-A-L, an endocrinologist at NYU Langone Health in New York City. But this is a small group from a homogeneous population. It looks hopeful, but we need to see the larger trials, and we need to know how long does the procedure last. Dr. Mitchell Roslin, chief of obesity surgery at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City, agrees, calling the findings very exciting but urging caution. People in clinical trials are motivated to lose weight, and they change their eating habits, Roslin says. So the question is the procedure the cause of the changes, or is it an association? I would bet it's an association. Placebo-controlled clinical trials of the DMR procedure are now starting at 35 hospitals across the globe. Researchers hope that the results will corroborate early findings so that more people with diabetes may be able to free themselves from the need for insulin. There's a link to support research for the Fund Diabetes Research and Care at the Diabetes site for free. From Healthline.com, FDA approves new treatment for diabetic condition that can lead to blindness, an article by Ginger Vieira, V-I-E-I-R-A. The drug Eylea, E-Y-L-E-A, can be used to treat the early stages of diabetic retinopathy, reducing the chances of serious vision loss. Diabetic retinopathy is the leading cause of blindness in adults across the globe, according to the American Journal of Managed Care. The most challenging aspect of retinopathy is that it often goes undetected until too much damage has been done, and the person affected is already losing their vision. As a result, this nearly silent assault on the eyes leaves people living with diabetes with few treatment options as the severity of the condition and vision loss worsens. However, a new treatment option, Eylea, from Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, has just been approved by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, to treat all stages of diabetic retinopathy. Eylea is a vascular endothelial growth factor, VEGF, inhibitor, which means it works by blocking the growth of potentially abnormal blood vessels. It reduces swelling and reduces the leakage and bleeding that's responsible for increasing vision loss. First created to treat diabetic macular edema, Eylea's recent FDA approval will give people struggling with the threat of vision loss a greater chance of preserving their sight. Regeneron's press release reported that during a recently published clinical trial, Eylea reduced a patient's risks of early signs of retinopathy from progressing into proliferative diabetic eye disease by 85% to 88%. Eylea is the only drug that has been approved for the early treatment of diabetic retinopathy to attempt to prevent the progression of serious retinal complications. Dr. Mark Frommer, an ophthalmologist at Frommer Eye Centers in New York City, told Healthline, "While there are treatments for retinopathy that work similarly, experts say Eylea presents the best opportunity for a patient whose retinopathy is detected early to preserve as much vision and overall eye health as possible. Here is the older article from CNBC on GM's Cruise. GM Cruise plans to test unmanned self-driving cars in San Francisco, by Michael Wayland. Cruise Automation COO Dan Kan, K-A-N, Cruise Automation CEO Kyle Vogt, V-O-G-T, and General Motors President Dan Ammann, A-M-M-A-N-N, were pictured together on November 20th of 2018 at the Cruise Automation offices in San Francisco. Cruise, a majority-owned subsidiary of General Motors, plans to begin testing unmanned autonomous vehicles by the end of the year in San Francisco. That's 2 years ago. The company said Thursday it has received a permit from the California Department of Motor Vehicles to remove the human backup drivers from its self-driving cars. The state also confirmed the permit on its website. Before the end of the year, we will be sending cars out onto the streets of San Francisco without gasoline and without anyone at the wheel, Cruise CEO Dan Ammann wrote in a Medium post. Because safely removing the driver is the true benchmark of a self-driving car, and because burning fossil fuels is no way to build the future of transportation. Cruise is not the first company to receive such approval, but it's a milestone in taking Cruise's privately operated fleet to a public level without having drivers, a goal of the company. Other companies to previously receive such a permit are Alphabet's Waymo, Autox Technologies' Nuro, and Amazon's Zoox. Ammann, who previously served as president of GM, said Cruise expects to be the first to test unmanned autonomous vehicles on the streets of a major U.S. city. Ammann did not say when the company plans to launch a commercial and autonomous vehicle business for passengers or cargo. Cruise last year delayed the launch of a commercial self-driving vehicle service in San Francisco, which it had expected to deploy in 2019. The company said its vehicles required further testing. Cruise has consistently said the launch timing would be guided by safety. Here's an update from CarAndDriverMagazine.com. GM's Super Cruise self-driving tech will be on 22 vehicles by 2023. The impressive hands-free system is currently only available in the Cadillac lineup. Article by Roberto Baldwin, Dateline February 6, 2020. We already knew that 2021 Cadillacs were going to be offered with the Super Cruise driver assistance system, which first launched in 2017 on the Cadillac CT6. Now we've learned the hands-free system is rolling out to 22 General Motors products by 2023, according to GM President Mark Reuss, R-E-U-S-S. The system relies on high-definition maps, sensors, and in-car monitoring of the driver. GM is finally expanding its hands-free Super Cruise driver assist system beyond the Cadillac brand. According to GM President Mark Reuss, the feature will be available as an option on 22 vehicles by 2023, with 7 vehicles getting the feature next year and 12 more in 2022 and 2023. This, it goes without saying, is a huge expansion of the system that will bring it to a much wider customer base. Automotive News reports that Reuss announced the news during the automaker's Capital Market Day presentation. The math of the rollout doesn't quite add up. Reuss stated that 22 vehicles would get the feature, but only announced the timetable of 19 nameplates during the presentation. But we're expecting that the remaining 3 vehicles will get Super Cruise sometime in 2023. In whatever order it rolls out, this is clearly a smart move on GM's part to finally expand the system beyond its luxury brand. Developing an advanced driver assist system on the order of Super Cruise is incredibly expensive, and to limit it to one brand limits the return on investment of all that work. Super Cruise is a true hands-free system that uses high-definition maps, sensors watching the road, and an in-car monitoring system to make sure the driver is paying attention. While you don't have to hold the steering wheel, you do have to watch what's going on. Otherwise, the system will alert you to watch the road. Essentially, it's a keep your eyes forward and hands in your lap deal. Super Cruise launched in 2017 on the CT6, RIP. Recently, Cadillac announced that the system would be available on the new CT4, CT5, and recently unveiled the 2021 Escalade with an automatic lane-changing feature. the latest version of the suite requires updated software and hardware as part of GM's new digital vehicle platform. So CT6s with Super Cruise will not be receiving an update for automated lane changes. A Journey Through History will meet on January 5th, 2021 at 8 p.m. The group will review a book written by the Pulitzer Prize-winning granddaughter of the participants of the Great Migration of 6.5 million Afro-Americans to the North. NLS Annotation, The Warmth of Other Suns, The Epic Story of America's Great Migration, DB 71929, Wilkerson, Isabel. Reading time, 19 hours, 57 minutes. Read by Erin Jones. A production of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Library of Congress. Categories U.S. History, Bestsellers. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist chronicles the migration of African Americans from the South during 1915 to 1970. Recounts experiences of sharecropper's wife, Ida Mae Gladney, in 1937, citrus picker George Starling in 1945, and physician Pershing Foster in 1953, asserts that institutionalized racism spurred millions to uproot themselves, some violence. Bestseller, 2010. Journey Through History meets monthly on the first Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Zoom invitation, https://us02web.zoom.us/j/177809772. Meeting ID, 177809772. Passcode, AWZ. OneTap mobile numbers, 1-929-205-6099. In New York, 1-301-715-8592. In Germantown, dial by your location those two numbers with the meeting ID 177-809-772. Find your local number at https://us02web.zoom.us/u/KZ(A)I(N)DON2. Signed, Don Queen. Fiction Old and New Discussion Group meets the first Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Note, since the first Friday in January is the first, a holiday, we will be meeting on the second Friday, January 8th, instead. Fiction Old and New will be discussing the book Peace Like a River by Leif Enger, E-N-G-E-R, DB54212, on Friday, January 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Here is the NLS annotation. https://nlsbard.loc.gov/nlsbardprod/download/detail/src/db54212. Peace Like a River. Enger, Leif. Reading time, 11 hours, 8 minutes. Read by Bruce Hunty. A production of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Library of Congress. Category Family. In early 1960s Minnesota, Davy, 17, takes flight from the law after he kills two thugs who have assaulted his girlfriend and menaced his 9-year-old sister. His miracle worker father, poetry writing sister, Swede, and 11-year-old Reuben, who tells the tale, set out across the Great Plains to find the boy. Copyright 2001. Your facilitators for this group are Michelle Bernstein, hamletsweetlady@gmail.com, and Sherry Wells, sherrywells1157@gmail.com. Join the Zoom meeting, https://us02web.zoom.us/j/613313488. Password TG... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading The Vision News for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.